الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش بلا Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, when we look at some of the best universities of the world, the high profile, the high ranked universities, Oxford University, Cambridge University, Harvard University, Imperial College London, Yale University, many universities of the world, the top ranked universities of the world, for anyone to be connected to these important brands on the subject of education, a man has to be of great intelligence. You have to be the best of the best. You have to be the elite, the cream of society, someone who is very intelligent, capable, competent, someone who has passed the exams, all the tests, and truly just to apply and just to get there is a painstaking hurdle for any individual. Many of the people just give up and they can only dream that they were connected or have any kind of membership and affiliation to these universities of dunya. Why? Because of the name, because of what it gives you, the best professors, the best teachers. And so to maintain the reputation throughout for generations to come, they only select the best, the elite. And the best, when they graduate, become powerful individuals in the world. Maybe some of you might not even know that prime ministers, as many as 20 plus prime ministers of this country, England, have graduated from Oxford University. If you look at Liaquat Ali Khan of Pakistan, Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, a graduate of Oxford University, Benazir, graduate of Oxford University, Tony Blair, Tony Benn, David Cameron, Abdullah of Jordan, subhanallah, and the list continues, Imran Khan. All of these individuals who later on become powerful individuals of their country, of the community they live in. So you have to be a great individual to get a place in these institutes. for someone to say that I am the student of so and so, so and so, and I have graduated from this university. Nowadays what happens, we don't even get the university of our choice, local universities, never mind other universities. And so we just have to deal with whatever comes in front of us. Now I'm giving you an example so that we understand that from great universities of this dunya, you have great individuals who come out. And to be a student of such great teachers, professors, is also a noble thing, my respected brothers. Now think for a moment. Imagine what it must be, what must be the standard or the criteria to be the student of the greatest teacher of the world, of the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just in comparison, I gave that as an example so that we understand, an example of this dunya. For someone to make an entry into Oxford University is a mission. For someone to make an entry into Cambridge University is a mission. For someone to make an entry into Harvard University is a mission. Then is it easy for someone to make an entry to be the student of Janabi Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Bu'istu mu'alliman, that Allah has sent me as a mu'allim, as a teacher. I am a teacher. And the greatest teacher, the best in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it to be a student in the university of Janabi Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imagine what must be the criteria, what must be the benchmark, what person to be or to enroll. Do we think that certain Bedouins of the desert, certain individuals haphazardly were walking past, maybe from Syria, came across to the Arabian Peninsula, entered the city of Makkah, and oh, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there, and they become the elite? How? What we need to understand, my respected brothers, is that this selection is a divine selection. This selection is a divine selection. Like the students of Oxford University, students of Cambridge University, have had to go through a lot to get into that environment, in that environment. And so for a person to get into that environment, to be a direct student of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine the test. What is the test? Who is going to decide on the test papers and the exam that is put forward to them? Many people say that I have passed, I've had the best marks, and so that's why this is my position. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, khair. Now just to give you an understanding, to be the student of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our maker, Allah himself would choose and test an individual. And I deliberately use the word test. That Allah sets the test for that individual, for him to qualify to be the student of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You had great people in Makkah Mukarramah, great individuals. From amongst the uncles of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only two could be the students of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so what is the criteria? What is this standard, this divine selection, which is answered in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says in Surah Hujurat, Allah says in Surah Hujurat, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قلوبهم أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم. سبحان الله. أنا أجيب verse of the Quran. أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم. سورة حجرات. A beautiful chapter of the Quran which speaks on the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his honor and his maqam and his status. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tested the students of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Allah tests you, imagine, and for you to qualify and to pass that test, what must be the making of that individual? How must be that individual? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah that Allah tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. And Allah tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. So Allah tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, and to make sure that only the best surround the best. Only the best surround the best. And who is the best? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people around him should also be the best. And it's very important when you have a powerful team, a network. And only then a person can be successful. Otherwise it would be very difficult. And so all of the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are actually the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says that Allah scanned their hearts. What did Allah do? Allah scanned their hearts. Imtahana Allah. Allah ne imtihan liya. Imtahana is also a word which we use in Urdu. Imtihan, which means to test. And Allah says, imtahana Allah. That Allah took imtihan. Allah took a test. Allah scanned the hearts of the companions for them to become the students of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many were rejected. Many were rejected. Many were rejected. But many were accepted. And those that were accepted were given the titles of being the students, as in the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Allah scanned their hearts, Allah says, قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى. After scanning their hearts, Allah said that I could only see taqwa in their hearts. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, my respected brothers, where Allah puts forward this testimony, this shahadat, that after scanning their hearts, imagine how pure Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in must be. How incredible these individuals are. Today we talk about, you know, people graduates from this university, that university, falah, 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 falah. But the graduates of the university of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what leaders they became, that is something to see. If Oxford University could come up with 26 British prime ministers, 26 British prime ministers, and that's just with the British Isles, not talking about the other individuals of the world, then what about the madrasa, the university of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gave humanity the likes of Abu Bakr Siddiq, the likes of Umar Farooq, the likes of Uthman, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, all of the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is amazing, my respected brothers. Imagine, Allah is saying that I scanned their hearts. I tested them. قُلُوبَهُمْ unke dilo ko dekha. لِلتَّقْوَى. And they were filled with taqwa. And then Allah says, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And for them is maghfira, forgiveness, and a great reward in the hereafter. أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. A great reward in the hereafter. Subhanallah al-Azim. And then in another verse of the Quran, Allah says, وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ قَلِمَةُ التَّقْوَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw them and they were blessed with the kalima of taqwa, as in this blessing of taqwa. And so these were the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we need to understand, my respected brothers and elders, that if you get a group of people, a portion from this ummah who disagree, and they say that the students were incompetent, that the students of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who graduated from the university of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarrama and in Medina Munawwara, that they had defects, that they were incompetent individuals, that aliyazu billah, they were not worthy. Now can you get a greater form of blasphemy for someone to speak in this manner and to totally reject these students as in the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And I bring this up so that we understand the status of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. When we read the history of Islam, we will definitely come across episodes, incidents that even the mind cannot comprehend. But as Muslims, we should not burn our fingers. We should not burn our fingers. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us information that the best are Anbiya alayhim as-salam. After Anbiya are Sahaba. After Sahaba are the Awliya, the Shuhada, the Ulama, the Sulaha. And then generally, the Ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most elite. And so this is the standard. And so we should not burn our fingers. So when we talk about Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, we need to understand that he's the son-in-law, subhanallah, from amongst the Ahle Bayt, and the student, and the companion of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says that I tested Hazrat Ali, and I saw that there is taqwa in the heart. And when it comes to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, who is he? He is the student, he is the sahabi, he is the brother-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore he is also, mashallah, of that honor and that privilege that Allah is pleased with him. And so we need to understand that. Just to give you a brief summary of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, he was the governor for 20 years before he became the Amir. He was the governor, during the time of the Khulafa'i Rashid. During the time of the Khulafa'i Rashid, he was the governor for 20 years. So for 20 years he became the governor, and thereafter for 20 to 21 years he became the Amir of the Muslim Ummah. Imagine. Now in the 40-41 years, that period of time, you will not find a single individual who has rebelled in his jurisdiction, who has gone against Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Not when he was a governor, and not when he was also the Amir. That is just the record of this man, whose name is Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. And very often, aliyazu billah, you will find even some who have very weak iman and knowledge amongst the simple Muslims don't show the right attitude to him that one should show when it comes to a sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A great individual. And the love that he had for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ahle Bayt. Just to give you an example. When Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an became the Khalifa, and then straight after he went back to Syria and he gave Khilafat to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, out of love, he said to Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an that until I am alive, you don't have to work. Until I am alive, alive, you don't have to. All of the finance, everything that you need, financial support, will come from me. For 10 years, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah financially accommodated Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. And the Shia Rafizi say that Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an's activity were an embezzlement to the treasury of the Muslim Ummah for his own benefit and depriving the Ahle Bayt. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And depriving the Ahle Bayt. And for 20 years, he gave financial accommodation to the grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, for 20 years. And this is the tariq, this is the history. Now, why would he give so much money to Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala? It wasn't that Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an wanted dunya and that all the money was for him. Hazrat Hassan was well known for his generosity. He was well known for his generosity. He was like Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, well known. And so Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an continued, wanted him to continue of this noble character, that worry not about finance, I will supply everything and you do the works and you give to the ummah. So this was Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. Just to give you one more example, once Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an came to Medina Munawwara, there he met up with all the Muslim counselors, the elite, as in governors of Medina Munawwara, people responsible. And so what he did is that he gave all the governors in Medina Munawwara 5,000 dirhams. How many? 5,000 dirhams as a gift. And then when he saw Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said, the total amount that he gave to the Muslim counselors, that entire amount was given to one individual as a gift and to Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. Now imagine, that was the love that he had for the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now a lot of the brothers, mashallah, have been to Haram Sharif. All of you have, mashallah, have you? All of you? Alhamdulillah. No. Not some of you here, the young ones, inshallah, Allah will take you. When you go to Makkah Mukarrama, you see this beautiful building in Haram Sharif, this cubic structured building that is there, which is actually the Qibla of this Ummah. It's got four sides. So wherever you are in the world, you face one side of the Kaaba, which is your Qibla. Which is your Qibla. Built by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the history. A beautiful building that is there. And the one thing you'll notice nowadays is this beautiful black cloth that covers the Kaaba, which is also known as the Ghilaf Kaaba. The Ghilaf Kaaba. The beautiful black cloth that you see. MashaAllah, verses of the Quran. Ya Hannanu, Ya Mannan. Inna awwala bayt wudi'a linnas. All of the verses related to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Kaaba Sharif are beautifully engraved in the black cloth, the material. And there's a lot of effort. An entire team is there when it comes to the making of this material and the fitting of this ghilaf onto the Kaaba. Ulama have mentioned the first man to put on the ghilaf of Kaaba with an expensive material, with a beautiful covering, so that people see, subhanallah, the status, the honor, the strength, the privilege that Allah has given to this ummah, that it's not just bare wall that you see, it's a beautiful covering. The first man was Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Who was it? Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. He was the first man. And he's the one who designated a proper team and individuals. Today when you go to Haram Sharif, you have people who clean the haram and mashallah make sure that the platform is clean, absolutely clean. Zamzam water is provided. It's not something that is new with the Khadim of Haramain al-Sharifain. In fact, this goes all the way back to the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and but again a lot of wealth came during the time of the Umayyad Khilafat, when Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an was the leader, and proper functions were given to the Haramain al-Sharifain, and he looked after it. And Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was such a great politician that he was in Syria, his eyes were upon Haram Sharif, but at the same time he was also guarding Baytul Maqdis, making sure that the Romans have no authority over the Haram Baytul Masjid Aqsa, which is actually the Haram of the Ummah also, Masjid Aqsa, which is the first Qibla of this Ummah and the third Haram. And so Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an's khidmat is also that when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an went to Masjid Aqsa, and where he met up with the Christian patriarch that was there, there were also certain individuals to witness this meeting, and from amongst those individuals to witness the meeting, one individual was Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. And so we need to understand, subhanallah, who this great man, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an is. And so the Kaaba Sharif, the Gilaaf that you see, now when you picture the Gilaaf of Kaaba, we should run a bit of history also in the mind, which is very, very important. And in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the Kaaba is such that if you go to Haram Sharif and if you sit, and just to set your glance on the Kaaba wall, that in itself is a noble act of worship. So for a person just to sit from Asr to Maghrib, and just to look at the Kaaba, and you'll see so many people, mashallah, their job is perhaps just to sit and to admire that beautiful view, that scene. And they just see the Kaaba. To see the Kaaba, that in itself, mashallah, is ajr-e azim, an immense reward. And in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said, the same goes for the Quran, the kalam of Allah. Like the Kaaba, also for the Quran. One is to open up the pages of the Quran and to recite. That is fulfilling and rewarding. But one is also just to see a hard copy of the Quran in front of you. And for a person just to see the Quran, that in itself is zikr of Allah. That in itself is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in itself means to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By your eyes seeing the Quran, there's an effect inside your heart that will remove the rust that is there. Subhanallah ilazim. Qari Abdul Basit, rahmatullah alayh. I'm sure every one of you must have heard of him. The great Qari of this Ummah. Someone said to him that, Hazrat, when you read the Quran, you read with a lot of passion, with a lot of love, enthusiasm, that connection that you have with the Quran. And very often you'll find that people actually imitate his style of reading. And so when he reads, you have actually a few groups amongst the Qurra. And one is the Qari Abdul Basit style and recitation. And so how he stops and how he continues and how he reads. And immediately you'll know that this is how Qari Abdul Basit would read the Quran. A lot of passion, a lot of connection with the Quran when he would read. Subhanallah al-Azim. And he was a great wali of Allah. He was a wali of Allah. Subhanallah al-Azim. Many people say that, oh, he did not have a beard. He did not have a beard. But my brothers, he had a lot of other things with him. He had a lot of other things with him. Unfortunately today, with this ummah, is that we just look at the zahir. What do we look at? The zahir. MashaAllah ji, kurta pehna hai, bahut nek aadmi. MashaAllah ji. No, don't get me wrong, please. Allahu Akbar. You know, to have a beard, that is a sunnah, subhanallah. To wear your libas, that is a sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what I'm saying is that we should not be very quick to judge individuals. You might find some great individuals who've done great works for this ummah. People, and I always say this, The great shair and the poet of Pakistan. What was his name? Allama Iqbal. The great poet of Pakistan. People call him the second Rumi. People call him the second Rumi. You have to be a great scholar to actually read his works. You can't even understand what he has written. That was the kind of sha'ir he was. And when it comes to praising Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you just need to look at his work to see how much love this man had for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so in many parts of the Arab world, due to political reasons, people don't actually put on what we know as the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam externally. And so he says that, somebody asked him that, Hazrat, have you seen any miracle with the Quran? Any miracle of the Quran? A good question. And so he said, yes, I have seen one miracle. And he said that Malik Abdul Nasir, who was actually the Prime Minister of Egypt, when he went to Russia to meet the Russian delegation and everybody that was there, a lot of the Russians there met up with him, and at that time Russia was the superpower of the time. And he was the leader for Egypt. And so they said to him that, Nasir, why don't you enforce communism in Egypt and we will change Egypt into a great country. Adopt our model and you will see the difference. And so Nasir was a Muslim and he tried to explain, but he had no time. Communication was also difficult and time constrained. So he had to go back to Egypt. But Malik Nasir felt that something was missing, that he had to go out there and speak to the Russians and tell them that, no, what you tell me is wrong. And so Qari Abdul Basit says that after 2 years, I receive a letter from the president, a presidential letter, inviting me to accompany Nasir for a second time to visit Russia. And he said, I could not believe it, that you'd rather take me to Pakistan or a Muslim country. Now forgive me, I've mentioned Pakistan a few times. Some of you might feel that, you know, what's happening here? Personal ties with Pakistan? Allahu alam. But what I'm saying is that generally, as Muslims, we love everybody. And we should have love for everyone, mashallah. Darul Islam ho to khair, aur baat hai. But that's what he said, that I'd rather go to a Muslim country. What am I going to do in a country of atheists? People who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Malik Nasir had other plans. And so Nasir took with him, he said, I was in the flight with the Malik, sitting with him. He's the official Qari of Egypt, in fact of the world. And so when he got there, in this meeting, a group of Russians, a delegation was supposed to meet a lot of people that were there. And so Malik Nasir took up the courage and he said that this man, Abdul Basit, he's a beautiful singer. And when he sings, it's very beautiful. And what I have done is that I invited him to accompany me all the way from Egypt to come here and give you the honor to listen to him sing. To give him the honor to sing. Allahu Akbar. And so, mashallah, the Russian said, chalo yaar, ye to bahut achhi baat hai. Singing. And what singing? It was not actually the singing, it was actually the qiraat and the recitation of the Quran. And subhanallah, the Quran in front of the Russians, atheists, and subhanallah, Allah knows how that majlis must be, and Qari Abdul Basit lifting up his hands to his ears and he starts to recite the Quran. And he recites the Quran and he actually says that I read the opening verses of Taha. And these are actually the verses that changed the condition of who? Hafiz Suleiman? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an li tashqa. This ayah from here, until the next page had changed the condition of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And he said, I chose this same surah to read in front of these atheists and people who don't believe in Allah. And he said, after my recitation, I opened my eyes to see. And what did I see? A miracle in front of me that everyone there was crying. Everyone there was crying. And Qalib al-Basit said, if there's a miracle that I have seen in my life, it is this miracle which I witnessed in Moscow. In Moscow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah ta'ala in the next majlis we'll continue. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ta'ana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.